There are a lot of ways that people, magazines, and TV shows try to get our attention. For years, we've seen the same basic pattern, where the cover of a magazine will say, 101 tips for healthy living. Or your evening news will lead with something that they want you to think is going to be very important for you to tune in. So they'll say, what new threat has hit Grand Junction this week? Tune in tonight to see. Why you may have only one day to live. News at 11. 11's pushing it. If I only have one day, I want that now. I figure if it's really important, they'll have an emergency broadcast for it. I'm not going to watch a whole news show just for the one thing that may kill me this day. Come on. That's asking quite a lot. In fact, today, advertisers and just people who write articles know that our attention spans are awfully short. Let's be honest, how many of you have your phone out right now? No one? Good. I didn't need that much honesty here. No, I'm sure that you have a Bible app and you're going to open it right after Instagram. But for now, we have short attention spans that everyone's dealing with. And so you see, especially online, headlines that are described as clickbait. They're just designed to get you to click through, at least load up the page, see the first part of the article, and, you know, the ads. That's how they're going to make their money. So everything you see is played as though it's the most important thing ever. Man's best friend does something amazing that will change your life forever and restore your faith in humanity until the day you die. Wow, I wonder what that dog's doing. Oh, he's barking at a cat. Oh, silly dog. They always put an emphasis on it that this is the most important thing you could see today. Those ads that you see on the side of your webpage, how many of you guys have seen ads that say, one trick that your doctor doesn't want you to know to live a healthy life forever and ever? Man, that makes you kind of want to click, right? Like, I mean, if there really is just one quick tip, we should really find that out. No one wants to read long-form media. No one wants to read a 10-page article to finally find out, okay, well, I guess there's 50% chance that a little bit more vitamin D will reduce your risk of cancer by 4-5%, so I guess maybe get in the sun a little bit more. You don't want to go through all of that. You just want, go in the sun, you'll live forever. I was watching a series of movies with my wife Angela. We got this series of musicals from whatever studio produces them, 20 of their top musicals from the beginning till modern time. And as we watched, I noticed that whoever edited those old movies did a bad job. They are slow. Or people then were just a lot more patient. We don't need today a panning shot of the whole town, see small town America. No, just a quick shot of Sears Tower, Chicago at the bottom. Next scene! You know where we are. Our attention spans are short, and we need to grab people's attention, to suck them in. But we can do short forms of virtually anything. That you have, for instance, in just our entertainment, how many of those talent shows happen where people don't get to do their whole act? Right? They come up on stage and they start to juggle, and then X, 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 you're out of there. We only need to see 2 seconds of that to know we don't want to see any more than 2 seconds of that. People are caught up in this idea that we need the next new thing, the next best thing, that if you stick on one subject for too long, people are just going to tune out, and in fact, I'm already done with this sentence, so let's move on to the next thing. I'm boring myself up here. And yet, there is real value in digging deep, in spending time on something, in being willing to look at it again and again. Today we're talking about meditation. We're again in Psalm 119. We're looking at meditation. And meditation is that ability to dwell on something, to look at the Word of God and spend time in it, to Take time looking at what God wants to say to us. It's like those color fatigue images. Have you guys seen these before? Where you see an image of the American flag, but the colors are all wrong. But it says, just stare at this for a minute. Stare just for just 1 minute. Stare right at this flag. And when you look away, you will see the American flag wherever you look. And meditation is that same way. It's that staring intensely at the Word of God so that we can see Jesus wherever we look. That is imprinted on us, making its mark in the world around us. We are going to be looking today at Psalm 119. We're starting with verse 97. Four gifts of meditation that will change your life forever. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditated on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path, so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. I have taken an oath and confirmed it, that I will follow your righteous laws. I have suffered much. Preserve my life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, O Lord, the willing praise of my mouth and teach me your laws. Though I constantly take my life in my hands, I will not forget your law. The wicked have set a snare for me, but I have not strayed from your precepts. Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us today, that you would open our hearts to hear from you. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Here we have a focus on meditation and what it means to look deeply at the Word. Meditation on the Word of God means reading it deeply, spending time in it. Now, we don't read just a single verse at a time and put it aside, but we're willing to spend time thinking about what the Bible says on a deep level. And meditation gives us wisdom. Meditation gives us wisdom. That when we spend time in the Word of God, we understand more of this world. As we spend time focusing on God's laws and who He is, we become wise. That's what the psalmist says here. Verse 97, I meditate on your law all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. And 100, I have more understanding than the elders. Saying these three groups of people, and probably many more, that he is wiser than, he knows more than, because he spends time in the Word of God. Meditation gives us wisdom. It changes our mind. Meditation on the Word of God leads us to a changed mind. Now, it doesn't necessarily solve every type of problem. It doesn't give us all knowledge of this world, just looking at the Bible. I wouldn't advise coming into an exam, sitting down for the first math problem. All right, we have a train leaving Chicago heading west at 47 miles per hour, and we have one heading east from San Diego at 23 miles per hour. So if the first train leaves at 2 o'clock and the second train leaves at 3:30, and of course that's West Coast time, then what time are they going to collide on this track? Well, that's a bad track design in the first place. But I don't think you should just put for the answer, John 3:16. Nailed it. Similarly, you shouldn't show up to your class for your exam knowing that you obey God's word. You quick ask your teacher, hey, is that a cotton polyester blend? Okay, cool. I'm way smarter than you. Got this one for sure. No, the Bible doesn't give us that type of knowledge. But it does transform the way we think. Meditation gives us wisdom because it changes our mind. It changes our mind to make us more like God, to understand what God values and who God is, that we are able to learn from God's Word the way the world really works. As we dig deeply into the Word of God, we understand how God put the world together, and there is a lot of the Bible that is just plain good advice. The Bible is full of good advice for our daily lives. Meditation on the Word of God will give us wisdom and change our minds. But meditation also gives us piety. Meditation gives us piety. It gives us a righteous life. We have wisdom, yes, but I believe the most difficult decisions in life are moral decisions. The most difficult decisions we have are moral decisions. They may be caught up in big changes in our life, but the most difficult decisions are moral, because it is moral decisions where we are often torn between what we know we should do and what we earnestly desire to do. That we are caught up in, should I marry this person? I know that I love them. I know that I like being around them, and yet I'm a worse person when I'm around them. I know that they don't follow God's law. How can I make this decision? The most difficult decisions in life are ones that force us to confront who we are deep down, make us question what really motivates us and what type of person we want to be. That oftentimes, what is most difficult is putting away things that we earnestly desire. And yet, meditation on the Word of God gives us piety. It changes our heart. Just as when we receive wisdom, our mind is changed, when we receive piety, our heart is changed. And this is what it says here in verse 101 through 104. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. The beauty of the Word of God is that as we spend time understanding who God is, we begin to hate what is evil. Not just to avoid it because we know God commands us to, but to really hate it. That things that used to be pleasurable and sinful are now sinful and despicable to us. That we no longer seek after the joys of this world, but we seek after the joys of eternity. That we know who God wants us to be, and our hearts are transformed to hate what is evil and love what is good. Meditation gives us wisdom, which changes our mind. It gives us piety, which changes our heart. And it also gives us direction. Verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Meditation gives us direction. There are many decisions we make in this life that are not moral. They are not decisions between something which is obviously evil and something which is obviously good. Very few people, when you sit down with your guidance counselor in high school or in college and you think, man, I don't know what I should be for a living. There's one job, but I think it might be wrong. And there's another one that I think it would be good. So tell me, counselor, should I be a priest or a prostitute? Very few of us are making those type of decisions for where we work. And yet we all are faced with decisions, large and small, of how we will live our life. And the Bible gives us direction. It gives us direction not because it lays out for us in somewhere buried in Ezekiel, where we've never read before, you can flip through and see, you should be an engineer. Go ye forth and build me bridges. Oh, okay, that's pretty clear. And yet, it gives us direction because it lets us know God's plan. We know that God's plan for us is to do good deeds. That we are people who are following His plan. That meditation gives us direction because it changes our purpose. It gives us a changed purpose. That our purpose is not to pursue wealth and happiness and large homes and faster cars as the world may do. It is to pursue the will of God. And so our decisions should not come down to, well, should I get the black car? I really like black cars. But I park under a tree and, you know, dirt's going to show up on that easy. Maybe I should go with white because it blends in with bird poo. But I like the black one. But there is a bird poo. Instead, our focus is, wherever I am, how am I going to be serving God? And so as we answer the questions that set the course of our life, where should I work? If I take this job, how will I be able to serve God? If I'm an engineer, what will that look like as a servant of God? If I'm a stay-at-home mom, ignoring the fact that I could not be a stay-at-home mom, if I was a stay-at-home mom, how would ministry look? What would I do for God's purposes? The Great Commission is translated sometimes as you go, make disciples. That as we go, wherever we are in our life, we are following God's purposes because we are consumed by the Word of God and the direction that He has for us. As we are caught up in the love of God and God's love for this world, we are His people doing His deeds wherever we are. You see this sometimes in movies for children, that they go on some adventure, maybe they have a map to some treasure, but in the end they find out the true treasure was friendship. Like, okay, it's a moral story, I understand. And yet, that's exactly what we get from the Bible, that the details are left to us, but wherever we go, the true treasure is following God's purpose. Meditation gives us direction because it changes our purpose. Meditation also gives us joy. It says in verse 111, the 111st verse, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." I love the way that Hebrew poetry is set up, having these parallel lines. You notice throughout most of the Psalms, and you see this in Proverbs as well, that we have parallel lines, two lines per verse, and they work together to make one point. That they're parallel, working together to make their point. Here we have, "Your statutes are my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart." That linking of a forever heritage and joy. That we have a promise that lasts forever, and it gives us joy. We know the allotment we have from God, and it changes our attitude. Meditation gives us joy, which changes our attitude. We are able to focus not just on the immediate of this world, not just on the things that happen to us on a daily basis or even a yearly basis, but on the things that ultimately matter, which are eternal. Not only is the Bible a great source of just inspiration, but is a source of knowledge of who we are and what God's promises are. That our lives can be transformed as we focus on what is most important. I know that for myself, I am at my most joyful when I'm deep in Scripture. That if I set my Bible aside for too long, the joy fades from the here and now. But when I'm caught up in reading about who God is and His love for this world, I understand and I can easily see that whatever we face here and now will one day be done away with. And yet His promises endure. That we receive joy because we know that there is more than today and tomorrow. That there is an eternity of praising God shoulder to shoulder. And knowing God's purpose for our life and the direction He has for us, we are caught up in His love for this world, wanting to bring more people into that joy. The joy that we have received because of the gift of Christ. That as we study Scripture, we are caught up with the fact that all of Scripture points us to this message of salvation. That Christ, God made man, lived here on earth. That He faced every temptation we would face, and yet He did it without sinning. That He died a death that we deserve, and He rose again that we can partake in that gift of life. Meditation on Scripture gives us joy as we realize the inheritance we have, the gift we have received because one has died, that one, Jesus, that gift, life. Meditation on the Word of God changes us. Meditation gives us wisdom and a changed mind. It gives us piety and a changed heart. Meditation gives us direction, a changed purpose, and it gives us joy, a changed attitude. Most importantly, a changed life. I saw a video from a website called College Humor, which specializes in funny little videos. And appealing to those with short attention spans, their video was not a comedy. It was simply an image of a man saying, "I dare you to watch this 2-minute video all the way through. Don't click away. Don't read something else while it's going on. Don't look at your phone. Just spend 2 minutes watching this video. Can you last 90 more seconds to the end of this video? Or are you so consumed by the petty things of this life that you have to click away? Do you think you can make it to the end? No scrolling over the little bar at the bottom to see if anything else happens. I'll tell you right now, it doesn't. It's just me talking. Can you make it 2 minutes? We only have a minute left, people. You're doing great. Look at your attention span, a whole minute." And on it went. And the video got hundreds and thousands and millions of views as people passed it on. Can you make the challenge? Can you do it? Can you watch 2 whole minutes of video online without doing something else? Oh, it's going to be a hard one. Can you make it? Remember, that's 2 minutes of your life you'll never get back. For some of us, it may be a challenge indeed that we check our phone and then our smartwatch goes off. Oh, that was the same thing that was on my phone. Okay. And then our tablet, the computer, and somewhere lost in the shuffle, we forget to spend time on the Word of God. Then we open up our Bibles and we read 1-2 verses. If you're going to do that, maybe at least go to Proverbs, where verses can kind of stand on their own a little bit. But I encourage you, read Scripture deeply and thoroughly. Spend your time on the Word of God. Can you make it through a whole chapter of the Bible without checking your phone? Could you read an entire letter that Paul wrote without taking a bathroom break, watching a TV show, maybe coming back in a couple weeks? Can you meditate on the Word of God and let it change you? Meditation on God's Word gives us a changed life. Stare deeply into the Word of God and see Jesus wherever you go. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the promise of your Word, for the promise it has to change us. And Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would use your Word to make us who you want us to be. Change us, Lord Jesus. Amen.